So we're going to go ahead and start. Pete will probably show up later, so I guess I'm calling this second monthly workshop at Fort Worth Townsend for Wednesday, September the 27th open. And so I guess we'll just start off with our agenda, which is just one item on the agenda, and that's the 2017 Commission Retreats and Work Plan.
Exactly. So thank you, Commissioner Tucker. So I really wanted to take the opportunity today, you know, as we go into reviewing our first draft budget and looking at the ambitious work plan that we have for operations and capital improvement planning for our organization, to look at how the commission would like to organize itself, how staff can best support the commission in both building and perhaps renewing some of your skill sets with training, etc. Ask how you'd like to interact with other local governments, etc. And so wanted to have a pretty informal and free-form discussion back and forth with the three of you once the third one arrives, and get your input, let you know about how some I'm thinking of these things, and then so we can start programming and planning for things in the first quarter, because we do have a pretty ambitious work plan and just really looking to see how we can fit all the pieces together and keep everybody informed and supported along the way. So so with that, pardon me, let me discuss kind of like three broad areas that I can see the board focusing in on, and particularly in either a retreat type of setting or in a an extended workshop, because I think they're pretty healthy chunks of both information and just conversation to get through. So the three that I have are just general board capacity and board business. How are you going to work together? What are your kind of agreed upon rules of the road, committee assignments, et cetera? And I'll go into a little bit more detail. The second is the industrial development district. And I think that as you consider that, there'll be quite a bit of work to do of how do you want to outreach to other governments? How do you want to decide upon where to make those kind of investments? Should you decide upon an IDD, et cetera? And then the third one is looking at Point Hudson. And Commissioner Hanke, when he arrives and in the regular business meeting, we did meet with the city on Friday with both David Timmons and Mayor Deb Stinson. And it appears that they are very ready and eager to engage with us and engage with the other stakeholders in the community on how to proceed with making decisions about Point Hudson and exploring the possibilities there. So again, I think that's a very large piece of work, and I just want to make sure that we are providing room in our schedule, that we're thinking ahead, and we're also looking at how to support your work as commissioners and to support the organization in that. So those are kind of my three big categories. Before we go any further, I'll see what, if you have any thoughts on what commission needs might be.
Well, I'd like to hear what your recommendations are.
Okay. All right. And we can get into a little bit more. I mean, you know, you can give me comments along the way. So let's first talk about the board capacity. And I think this is a little bit more of a line of a traditional board retreat where you look at, okay, you know, what are your job assignments, what are your committee assignments. Sue provided me with the 2015 committee assignments, and these include everything from the Jefferson County Solid Waste Advisory Council to North Met, the Marina Committee for the Marine Trades Association, Northwest Marine Trades Association. So there's both external to the organization, intergovernmental, you know, advisory councils, etc. I know that you attend a variety of those. And then I also see a need for perhaps some subcommittees, and I wanted you to think about that. In particular, if we are looking at an industrial development district, for example, you know, do you want to have a subcommittee that involves other stakeholders on that? Do you want to meet separate from our regular business meetings? I could see another one of looking for economic development, and I know that, Steve, you go regularly to the
NODC.
Thank you. Never going to get that acronym right. I know you go regular to that, and there is, I'm not looking to duplicate efforts at all, because we all have enough meetings to attend. But I think in coupling, particularly the consideration of the IDD with really what is our economic development strategy as an organization, and how do we best fit in with what's ongoing within the community, and then what are our distinct and kind of standalone actions that we wish to be taking. Point Hudson, as I spoke of, there's another whole need, and even capital improvements. I mean, I'm going to be bringing before you in a regular business meeting is our first take at a 6-year capital improvement plan, and that is drawn upon the capital repair and replace plan that was developed by staff last year. And having a more robust conversation about that, so by the time it comes to the full commission, that perhaps you'd want to have a subcommittee recommendation on that. These are all for examples for your consideration. I'm not really making a recommendation at this point, but I think as we look at the amount of work and the kind of the depth of work that we're putting on our plate for next year, we are going to be hard-pressed to accomplish this in a cohesive form if we are just having our regular business meetings. Mm-hmm. So I think in this kind of first retreat, you can decide, you know, we can have a facilitated discussion about that. How do we want to conduct ourselves? Do we want to divide up any of the tasks? You know, do we want to engage with other stakeholders? And then how are they going to report back?
Excuse me, when you're talking about a subcommittee, you talk about a subcommittee of us, you know?
Yes.
And we're not other external people.
Right, though you may choose to invite other people to that, but it would be a subcommittee. When I mean subcommittee, I mean it is a committee that is formed by the commission, and it is in essence kind of chartered by the commission to undertake a certain task. So they are reporting back to you. So you're basically saying, I subcommittee would like for you to look into X, and I would like for you to report back on 1, 2, and 3. And then they can bring that back. So it's a way to kind of delegate some of the work, and to bring other perspectives to the table if you choose.
What I'm getting at, I guess, is the subcommittee made up of staff, or is it made up of people that we select from the community, or people that we hire as consultants, or
it could be any of those.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Any of those, and it may vary depending. And I think we also need to be careful that you know, we're not subcommitting ourselves to death, and mm-hmm. and you know, just having all we're doing is meeting all week long. So any of these answers, I don't expect we to arrive at them today. But I'm thinking that the need for this kind of annual retreat, and I see that annual retreat as kind of essential to good governance, in that it just gives you a chance to kind of realign, what are our rules of the road, how do we want to conduct our business meetings, what are our assignments, what are our priorities, what's our relationship with staff, you know, what are our different roles and responsibilities, and it's just a way to refresh that. And then particularly to look at, okay, what is the work plan that staff has brought forward, with your input, and then incorporated into the budget, which you will have adopted, and say, okay, what are we looking at? And then how do we hear from staff in a way that keeps us informed, keeps us making sure things are on track? Are we accomplishing what we set out to do? So it's just it's a way to set up, here's how we're proceeding about the year. I think you can have that either the beginning of the year, you know, first couple weeks of January. You could have it towards the end of the year, though you always run into holiday issues and people's travel plans and things. I've also worked for recently where they have had both kind of an orientation of, you know, quickly, here's at the beginning of the year, that's what we're setting out to do. But then before you enter budget making process, so sometime in the late summer, you then really start looking forward to the next year so that your budgeting process is really informed by some agreed upon priorities as well. So there's a couple ways to slice this, I would strongly recommend that we have at least one retreat, you know, a longer extended workshop, you know, maybe a day long, have a facilitator. I think that's important because it allows particularly me in my role to kind of step back and participate without having to track everything at the same time. So. I think also what we can cover in there is your relationships with other governments, who you'd like to be your representatives to each of those, communication needs for both organization, and then what you're thinking of as individual commissioners if you'd like to have support to have meetings out in your district, if you'd like them on specific topics, etc. So just looking at planning some of that work ahead of time so that we can anticipate with staff. So that's kind of the first idea that I have for a retreat. You want to move on to my second one, or you want to talk about that one for a while?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about what these committees, or if this committee's going to look like, and how it's if it relates to the advisory committee that used to exist,
mm-hmm.
and Eric was fully involved with that and sort of was facilitator, I suppose, in regards to those meetings that went on. Is that right, Eric?
Yeah, and point of fact, it was a lot more than facilitation. I mean, we ended up essentially doing all the staff work on behalf of the committee, so anything in writing that came before the commission was prepared by staff on behalf of the advisory committee. So there's a lot of time and effort from a staff level that went into staffing the advisory committee. It kind of functioned, I think, as you alluded to during the last workshop, Sam, as sort of a mini planning commission.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, I'd like to hear, Eric, if you, I mean, after going through all that pain and effort and difficulties and challenges that brought forth, do you have any recommendations on how would be best to proceed? I mean, I could foresee, you know, we don't necessarily would need different committees, but I strongly feel that we could benefit from an advisory committee that had the right elements in it to facilitate the IDD discussions and so on.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you just straightforwardly, I feel a little bit uneasy just expressing my opinion without having an opportunity to really noodle it through carefully with Sam. I will say that that was a general advisory committee. That was, and it had a very specific charge established by way of Port Commission resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to periodically review the port's adopted strategic plan policies to see whether they were still functioning as intended or whether they required revision, and also to provide input as to the extent to which the port was behaving in a way that was consistent with adopted plan policies,
mm-hmm.
basically recommendations on assuring that we were aligning our actions and activities with adopted policy. And then finally, to serve on an ad hoc basis, called at the discretion of the executive director, as I recall, to review capital expenditures that were not anticipated in the annual budget. So mm-hmm. if something was out of cycle, like special special expenditures. So again, it was a very narrow charge, and I think the expectation of some of the participants in the process was that there was going to be an opportunity to kind of weigh in on a whole host of other issues that were beyond the scope of the resolution that established the committee. I think we discussed in the commission workshop, or not workshop, but retreat earlier this year, prior to Sam's arrival at the port, we discussed the advisory mm-hmm. committee and its future. And I think at the time, the staff position was generally supportive of ad hoc committees on an as-needed basis, rather than having a standing committee that imposed a set of ongoing, kind of open-ended obligations for staffing and you know, basically staff preparing agendas and making sure that we were adhering to the Open Public Meetings Act and the keeping a faithful record of proceedings and writing recommendations on behalf of the committee. There was a lot to that, and I think as we've discussed it a number of turns over the past few months, I think we need to make sure that we're aligning the expectations of the organization with the capacities of staff.
Mm-hmm. So I need to mention something that this was actually a topic in our commission conference that we had earlier in this year. If you go to a commission conference, my favorite part is the breakfast where they, and it's nothing but commissioners and they know executive director or anything, and they have a breakfast where they say, anybody that has anything, we want to hear what you want to talk about rather than have you listen to what we think you need to hear. So all these commissioners get around, I raise their hand and say, well, this is what I want to know about. This is my concern. One of the questions were from a port commission that had tried to institute an advisory committee. They said, and they worked and worked and worked, and they just blew up. They said, does anybody have any ideas on how to make these things work? And at that time, another commissioner said, we just tried the same thing and had the same results. So how do we do this? And then Bellingham, there's two commissioners there that said, well, we haven't worked great. What are you guys' problems? And then suddenly, there was like four other port districts that said, ah, we tried it. We realized we've got to make it work. So basically, there's one port district that loves it, and that's Bellingham. And there were probably five or six that said they tried and tried, and they just simply couldn't make it work. So we know some problems. But I think that if we're going to seriously go down that road, we need to do some really good talking to Bellingham, because they seem to be the only ones that have been able to make it work. Because afterwards, the two commissioners that were there for Bellingham were surrounded by these other guys from port districts that were trying to make it work, and they were apparently the only ones. So we really need to probably, and that's one of the thing about WPA is they're happy to share this information. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I've talked with them, with Bellingham, just for that reason, and they're very positive about their, you know, I asked about the committee group. I think they call their group the Marina Advisory Committee, I think is what they call themselves, but maybe perhaps something else. And it sounded quite similar to the committee that they had put together here before, you know, various folks, but it just sounded to me like they had a much more cohesive group that was willing to show up. Maybe.
Hi, Brett.
That was willing to, you know, to show up and actually attend the meetings, and, you know, had, you know, took the extra time and efforts. And it sounds to me like that was some of the difficulties you guys had before.
If I could, yeah, that was certainly part of it. I think part of it, too, was that the charge was so narrow that they were really only obligated to meet like a couple of times a year. One to review the strategic plan and kind of how are we doing, and then another to prepare and formulate their report and recommendation to the commission. So it's really hard to establish any sort of cohesion or institutional memory. It didn't afford an opportunity to develop in a way the relationships necessary to sustain a standing ongoing committee. If you're only going to meet like one or two times a year every year, and you have people rotating on and off, I think I don't know the Bellingham situation specifically. I would suspect that it's a standing committee that is meeting regularly. The trouble with that is, particularly with the way the advisory committee was established here, is that you know, we have a lot of very specialized or issues that where we have port tenants and community members with very specialized knowledge as it relates to certain topics that arise, and having kind of the breadth of experience on the advisory committee doesn't necessarily give you that kind of expertise. For instance, if you're talking about you know, providing specific, more dedicated moorage to marine trades in the boat basin, if you have folks that don't have really any experience with you know, with marine trades at all, are those necessarily the people best positioned to weigh in on these issues? We had, you know, airport a representative of airport interests, environmental interests, you know, community wide at large representation from each district. So it was very kind of broad representation, and I think sometimes the issues that we contend with are much more specialized in nature. And I think that was one of the reasons why the staff position at the retreat earlier this year was supportive of an ad hoc committee approach, so that we could bring those resources to bear, the people who would be most likely to be able to help the commission daylight specific issues and make better decisions.
And so, welcome, Chair Henke. And just to bring you up to date in our conversation, so we're talking about possibility of commission retreats. I've put out kind of three broad categories to think of. One is general board and organizational capacity building, and kind of how do we want to conduct ourselves as an organization, including such things as like subcommittees, but also about, you know, our intergovernmental relations and how we want to do that, and suggesting that a beginning of the year or very end of the year retreat is a way for us to all align and look at the year ahead. We've also talked about potential other either extended workshops or retreat types settings to look at both the Industrial Development District as well as Point Hudson in general. So that's kind of where we are. So getting back to, I think that these are the kind of issues that you know, not in any way trying to resolve today, saying with a facilitator, we can wrestle with these in a retreat setting, and then really going to get our marching orders for the year. And so that's what I'm trying to gauge the commission's interest in. And if we see a need for, you know, multiple settings, do we try to put it all in you know, a day or a weekend? Are there other topic areas that you'd like to consider? So definitely hearing some need to wrestle with. And when I think about committees, particularly community committees, this, like, that to me is it's a bit of a stand-in for the generalized need, both on the commission's part but also the community's part, to have really effective engagement, so that people really have a chance to have their input, you have a good chance to hear from your constituency. And committee, that can happen in a committee. It can also happen using a variety of other tools, like surveys or you know, different, you know, quarterly type outreach meeting or roundtables. You know, so we can look at a variety of tools to meet that need. And but I think in particular, looking at our work plan, what we want to accomplish for this coming year, and making sure that we're having ample opportunity for that engagement. And then fitting the tool to that job. And I think that we can, that's something, again, we can chew on in that setting.
As far as the timing for that setting, I'm thinking that November is our last conference, the big one in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have December, which has got Christmas at the end. But if I'm not mistaken, you usually take off for Hawaii in January. And I was planning on taking off down to I've never been any place warm in the wintertime, ever.
Well, it's about time.
So I was going to maybe take off somewhere in January. So I was thinking that maybe after the conference in Tacoma, mm-hmm. which is in November, we could have one mid-December and then get a jump start on the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 The first week of January.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Any ideas for a facilitator?
Like David? No? Yes?
I could bring you some options to consider as well, including who you had last time. I could put together and then put together like here's what I think is a reasonable day agenda of topics. So I could bring that for either next workshop or maybe even next business meeting.
Yeah, one of the things that I see that I'd really like to start, because I think we have an opportunity to go for it, is to somehow figure out a meaningful way for the whole commission to engage with the entire county commission and the entire city council. Because I go to meetings and I bump into individual other people all the time, but you know, we can talk about what's on our minds, but it doesn't really have the same impact as if you're meeting together as groups, saying, you know, we're going this direction. How can we help each other? Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen when you talk with an individual commissioner one-on-one.
Right, and that's so definitely one of the things I have on this list for our retreat is that maybe it's inter instead of intra. I'm trying to say intra to the county, but between that our local governments and making sure that or just exploring, how is the best to have that communication and. Yeah. Then also knowing how these things go, making sure that they get on calendars well ahead and they're actually confirmed, and because otherwise they're just incredibly difficult to schedule. So I think if we were to do something like this in early December, then we could look at programming a couple times.
So are you kind of like talking about like a IDD summit where we...
Well, that's our next one. That's okay. So the next part for IDD, some of the things that I think that...
Can I just make one comment? Mm-hmm. And that is, the thing that I got excited about thinking about these retreats is that I felt last year, we knew there was a management change coming. And we knew that, it seemed to me, and you guys may have already said this, so I'm walking in late and I apologize. It just seemed to me we were working under tension. And the main purpose of the retreats is we're all trying to figure out how to work together. And it seems like we've come through that. And now what's more exciting about these retreats is I think they'll be a lot more constructive in really getting into some meaty stuff, process stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Great. So then that goes, so again, this is really pretty brainstorming level for me. So maybe we do this all in a day, a weekend. Maybe you need to have a couple days. I'm not sure, but so the IDD is definitely something that you're considering. And so I think having some extended time to think about as you move forward, what's going to be your stakeholder engagement process? Not just for you as the commission, but also us as the organization. What's going to be communication strategy on that? Putting that to a time frame. Okay, if we do move forward with this, when do we want to be meeting with the county commission? When do we want to be having any type of public meetings or getting other outreach out? So putting time frames and kind of matching tasks and activities that to that in the context of the rest of the work plan we have. So that's kind of another big chunk on here. And then without stealing Chairman Hankey's thunder too much of looking at Point Hudson and again looking at a really willingness and dare I say eagerness of the city to really engage with us on what are we going to do here? What makes sense? How do we make sure that we can involve the people that need to be involved in the early stages? and yet provide ample opportunity for the community at large to weigh in and look at everything from, you know, concept development to funding strategies. And again, that is some of that staff work, to be sure. But some of it, I think, is that you want to have a shared table with some, you know, and again, what were you calling it, Chairman Hanke? The kind of subcommittee task force, I think you were calling it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to do that, which of you are going to sit on that? Do you want to sit on that as a commission? And we need to be looking forward to arranging some special meetings. It's that kind of looking ahead to the year and saying, this is a big chunk of work. How do we as staff support you? How do we coordinate with our sister agencies? And how do we, you know, get it on the calendar and make it happen? So those are kind of the three really big chunks that I'm thinking about as your director and saying, you know, we need some butcher block paper time, I think, of putting things up and putting it to a timeline and seeing who's doing what.
Yeah, she wanted me to report out on the regular meeting about the meeting with the city, and so I don't want to do too much, but we were pleasantly surprised. There, you'd be surprised how close they are to our concerns about what's going on with Point Hudson. So, in that discussion, that's what she's talking about with task force. We were saying, you know, we should get a group of people together to map out what it is we're doing here together. And I was pleasantly surprised that they were in total agreement with that. Mm-hmm. So.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important that everyone's involved in these task forces, so everyone knows what's on the table, and then we all know that everyone has buy-in from the get-go, rather than a task force doing something and it comes back and goes, what? What are you thinking about for that? So I think it's important that we all somehow, and I'm not sure how to do this without making, I guess the only way to do this is to have a meeting with everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a real need for that, because every time I've been in meetings where we actually did stuff, you know, instead of just talk about things, where I actually did things when it was an intergovernmental thing, they always came back and said, you know, we need to do this more. And I think that we really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to be starting. That's going to start happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was front and center in that meeting. We need to do this more.
Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely hearing from you, and we'll look into possible dates and possible facilitators, put together some agenda items, and look at either early December or very early January. I'm hearing is very, very early January a possibility? We can't find it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Given this suite of things we need to discuss, as somebody who's done this type of facilitation, if you gave this to me and said we'd like to cover all this in one day, I'd say that's overly ambitious. So I'm thinking this is more than one day, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. And also, you know, maybe you say no. You know, we're ready to go. We've been looking at these topics for quite some time, and really we just need some concentrated time to get it up on the wall and see where we're going, and we don't need that much discussion time. So, amount of time that you think this would take, what's your kind of gut feeling?
Well, who else is going to be participating in this? I mean, other than just us.
I think just us for now. I think that if you... you know, or looking at how you want to engage with other people, then we can make some assignments of follow-up with them and see what their willingness and availability.
All right.
I'm not even sure we need a moderator. I think we could just do like what we're doing right now.
That's kind of what I'm wondering too, you know, and hopefully we get some, in the past we didn't have any public participation. I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Well, I think that's the whole point of the retreat, is that you just get to talk amongst yourselves without having to be, you know, having to listen to people always go on and put in their two cents. This is just for us to figure out how to work together and where we want to go.
Yeah.
The meetings, the workshops like we're having now and the business meetings that we have, there's plenty of time for the public to, and that's where you actually do stuff that, you know, you make resolutions and so forth. So basically the retreat's just to figure out how we can work together and where's the shiny object we're heading toward, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why don't you come back to us with
some possibilities? Okay. Great. Any other? This could be a short workshop because that's basically what I had.
Well, so really, it's. Do we need to have it out of, you know, like we did before at Pueblo? Why can't we just have it right here or go to the yacht, across the street to the yacht club or something, mm-hmm. you know, order in some pizza or whatever. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of it too is we could, I always feel like there's a lot more room for discussion on budget.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were, I think, my thought on this is we'd meet maybe once a month for like 3 months, like all of first quarter, once in January, once in February, once in March, 2-3 of these, and then see where we're at. Maybe that's too aggressive. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And then we can throw a lot of the stuff on the table that we're,
right.
we're always kind of mm-hmm. feeling like we're out of time and we don't get a lot of discussion about.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
You talk about three separate workshops, the mm-hmm. first of each month to the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Did you decide on the length of time? Half day, full day?
4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we do this? Why don't we start out with the first one and plan kind of a full day, which would probably be, you know, more along lines of 6 hours. Something like that. And I think by the end of that, we'll have a much better idea of what the two follow-up ones would need to be and what we can concentrate on. Mm-hmm. And a better sense of what our time needs are.
Or maybe we'll finish it.
We could. Exactly. Yeah. Does that sound like a plan moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
You know me, I'm a fan of, you know, butcher block paper, and I like getting it up and, you know, got the staff doing that, and they're all getting their color-coded stickies, and, you know, because I think that getting stuff to move down the wall is pretty powerful and actually seeing things happen, so.
How come nobody's raising their hand out here?
You can turn it over.
Yeah, let's open for comments. Jack. Hi, Jack.
I'm just taking this all in, and hi. I mean, it sounds like you guys are just trying to decide how to work together. I know the commissioners can't talk. You have to all three be in the room to talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you're trying to do?
Exactly.
And so, Sam, you must have a long list of tasks that you have on your notepad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And is the goal to have the commissioners meet on those topics to come up with a coordinated approach to each of those?
Yeah, and I think especially the objective for me would be in this is to have some clarity of roles and responsibilities of, you know, which commissioner is going to be, you know, coordinating with what other legislative body, what topics those would be on, if we're going to have joint sessions, like I hear a desire for, let's say with the city council, then let's talk about what those topics would be, how many meetings we think would be appropriate, and then let's follow through and make that invitation. So then we could go to the city council and say, you know, the port commission would like to schedule 2 meetings with you this year, or 4 meetings, or whatever it is, and we can go ahead and start working on scheduling those and getting agendas set up and making sure that you know we're knowing what topics that we're gonna cover. And then matching those, drawing those from our work plan that we have, because we know that we have a really ambitious work plan, and we're going to be covering topics like a potential IDD and some potential work at Point Hudson. So it's scheduling with other agencies, and then seeing, you know, which of the individual commissioners, both everything from kind of standing committees to any special topics that they want to take on.
There's kind of, the port's in an interesting situation right now, because it's at one point, it's kind of like at one and the same, we're in crisis mode, like with stormwater, but we're addressing that. We're also in reconfiguring mode, where we're looking at properties and saying, you know, some of these properties, like the boatyard here, is not full. So are there better uses for the boatyard than what's happening right now? Maybe more height, and I'm using this as just strictly hypothetical, but high density storage of boats, something that we see Sea Marine doing down at Point Hudson. So there's the critical mode, there's the reevaluation of properties that we already have, and then there's also new opportunities, like the whole Chimicum Corners farming thing that's going on. And, you know, should we be looking at, you know, ways that we could be investing, bringing low interest money to bear that would help local people in that arena or something like that? And so I think, am I hitting them?
Yep.
I think that's where we're feeling a need to communicate more than we do with just a regular business meeting or even in a workshop like this.
Much broader spectrum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's that chance to then, you know, lay the strategy out of that you're connecting your efforts with bigger strategies that you want to move down the field.
Yeah. Gordon.
Came for a reason, eh?
Pardon?
I said, I guess I came for a reason.
Good.
You've covered a wide range of topics, and I've served on intergovernmental agencies, committees, whatever you want to call them, where it was quite adversarial at the beginning because I represented a tribe, and the rest of them were non-natives. So a lot has to do with expectations of all of the participants, them realizing that we're not going to lay siege to their communities and vice versa. And so you use those expectations to remind everyone just how little we can do or how much we can do. So I just throw that out there for the Marine Advisory Committee. Maybe it sounds like the expectations were very narrow. So some people came with different expectations, but they weren't allowed to speak them and were kept feeling cramped. And as a result, its results were disappointing. I know a little bit about Bellingham Harbor, so, they've done an upgrade. I mean, it's not the harbor it used to be, and it's still evolving. And the results are positive. I look at Bremerton, and yeah, they upgraded the harbor area, and then it's almost like they walked away and forgot about it. It's kind of, so each port is different. Each port behaves differently. There's different personalities, there are different budgets, blah, blah, blah. So just when you get to Marine Advisory Committee kind of things, or any subcommittee, it's about expectations. What are your expectations of the committee, and what is the committee's expectations about what you're going to receive? Like Eric said, there's a lot of writing up that has to happen. Who's going to do the writing up? So there's some logistic pieces in that. I'm all for, I just celebrate what you guys are trying to do, this how do we work better together? It's extraordinary. I can tell you in tribal councils, what you guys are trying to do in workshops takes years. Nobody changes on the tribal councils because they're just getting to learn how to work with each other. Then you go pull them out and it's like, now they have to go back and figure out who they trust and who they don't trust. So this, developing this environment of how to work better together, I just celebrate it. I think it will make you more efficient. And I think in the long term, the piece is that you want to hook up with the county and with the city. Wait, kind of like taking a page from what you told Bertram a couple of weeks ago, whatever it was. Come to me with a solution. You know? Well, when we go out to these other agencies, the county commissioners, we ought to have a plan in our pocket. And if it takes us 3 months to get there or 6 months to get there, it doesn't matter. We want to show up and tell them, listen, this is the plan we've got. And this is your piece. You need to sign up here and do this. So that you, we're not like meeting to figure out how we're going to work with you guys. No, we know how we're going to work with you guys, and this is your piece, because we have assets that we need to maintain. So coming to them with a solution, I think, is really the work that, whether it takes 3 months or, and I kind of listened to you guys saying, well, let's meet three times. I would just say, let's meet until we get it figured out, you know, because it'd be nice if it happened in three times. It'd be nice if it happened in one time. But the reality is probably not going to happen that way. Life is not as gentle to us. So I want to encourage you guys. You're on the right path. I celebrate all three of you in watching how you learn to seize that moment, make choices together. And I've talked to you, all three of you, about that. And I'm not bragging that up. It's just, God, that's what we need in elected offices, is people who can figure out how to work better together. So celebrate you on that. And Marine Advisory Committee, I think of our community, and I just read in the paper this morning, and I know it was somebody took something out of context, but don't lose Quilicene. I think Quilicene is kind of like the diamond you haven't uncovered yet. And when you brush that one up, holy smokes, it's going to be like, dang, nobody ever saw that on Linger Longer Road. But it's that kind of an opportunity that you three need time to, what's really down there? What's really possible? And then kind of the community, I'm all for that, but some committees sometimes can go awry. That's all I got.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Tom Goodson from Quilicene, and I was at the meeting, and you didn't say anything like that. You're paranoid, and they paranoid have been. I don't think there's anything here.
Thanks, Tom.
I was on the Kent City Council for a couple of years, and we always had a yearly retreat, and we were an outsider in it, an outside person. We specialize in small governments and how to do this, and always we had two meetings. We'd sit down first and give you all the staff, and they'd come to us and say, what are your problems? Then come back in a couple of weeks and say, okay, now you remember your problems, what do you want to do about it? But the whole thing was, we focused. You guys always have, you have so many things on your plate at one time. What are you going to work on first? Where are you going to put your energies? If you can figure that out, I think everything will move quicker. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my only recommendation is when you have your workshop, plan on figuring out the issues and then prioritize it. And pick one or two important things and work on those. And put the others in hold until you can, you know, get to them. Anyway.
Great. Thanks. In the back, yeah.
Right hand, right from Quilicene. Can the council talk now about what is happening down there in Quilicene? We have any updates or any new information? There's a lot of rumors going on around down there.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys can discuss now?
I don't see why not.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Let me just talk a little bit about it. I was down there in early August for a commissioner, get to know your commissioner and talk about the issues. Had a notice in the paper. No one showed up to that deal. And then we were down there a couple of weeks ago for a commission meeting. And I think basically the commission feels that the comments were taken way out of context and really kind of a means to an end that weren't really appropriate for what we were trying to do down there. What we were trying to say is that, look, we have a bunch of property down here. The property needs to be evaluated. It's not doing what it should be doing in terms of we're losing a lot of money down there. And so how do we proceed forward? Are we just going to, an option is to just keep going on with the way that it is. Another option is to restructure it. Maybe take the permanent moorage away, maybe turn it into more of a transient moorage or boat ramp area. We don't know. And so we were more there to look for comment from the community. And without putting out any initiatives that, you know, this is what we're thinking of doing. So, and I think the rumors concerning Coast is a pretty big employer down there. They see opportunities and, you know, they've approached us to, you know, try and help them achieve some of those opportunities, which brings more employment into the community. So all of that is kind of what we were putting forward in order to kind of achieve a dialogue with Quilt Scene. And I can't reiterate strong enough, none of us came with any initiative that, okay, we're gonna do this or do that.
There isn't an intent to sell the Coast. That's not the intent at this point, then?
No. I can't even really, there's no intent to sell. They're possibly, Coast would like to expand, so there's certainly a desire from Coast, but you know, I can't really speak except in general terms that it really has nothing to do with the marina. So I think our main concern with the marina is that, you know, we basically have one permanent boater moored in the marina, and so we need to come up with a more productive way of running a marina down there that makes sense, you know, not just to Quilt Scene, but to the whole county in terms of what we're doing with that facility.
Does the port lose money as a whole on the properties that are in the marina down there? Or is it a net money maker?
Abby, I'll let you can.
It's not a money maker.
Does it maintain at all? Do we know?
We don't even charge enough. We charge less for the gas that we sell there than we pay for it right now.
Not quite, but it's not
close.
We're certainly not making any money off that would offset the ongoing operation of anything from the fuel sales. And I think that's the important thing is, while any one year we might see an operations budget that's either slightly in the red or slightly in the black, but it has to be in the context of the capital needs that are down there for everything from maintaining the docks and the finger floats to the really big one is the maintenance of the entrance into the marina, because it's right in the middle of the drift cell, and so it requires regular dredging in order to maintain it for deeper draft boats. And that's the really big things when you look at the operating budget in the context of what you would need to continue to invest to keep it literally afloat. That's where the problem is.
That's what I meant with the fuel.
Yeah.
Too, that it's the
yeah.
total cost.
It's the total cost, exactly. Yeah. No, because, you know, the regulations for operating fuel sales within a marine environment like that are quite rightfully very stringent. And so, you know, we have more requirements that we need to do and additional infrastructure to make sure we don't have spills, and et cetera. So,
Does that address your concern?
It does. to a certain point, I think that the, you know, I'm surprised that there aren't more residents from Quilcene here today. There may be more at the actual meeting, but there's quite a hornet's nest down there. And general consensus among the community is, wow, they're really going to sell this, and the coast takes over all this area, and then the community loses. And for us, we're the closest thing that the port has, so that the marina has to a neighbor down there. We're right at the end down there. And so we would be substantially affected. We already bear the brunt of all of their commerce that they do, the lights, the noise pollution, the truck, and all the things that they do down there. And it's fine, we support the commerce, but it would affect us being the next door neighbors right there. And we could see, you know, all kinds of different things that Coast would have to do to make that area economically viable, including flatland down there would have to be turned into more tanks and pumps and more lights, which would affect us and also the community as well.
Yeah. Where are you located?
We're right at the end. We're at Canterbury.
Oh, you're Canterbury.
Canterbury and down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so we already, you know, 4:30 in the morning, we hear their trucks backing up already, and we've gone up and tried to talk to them, but they're, you know, they can't really do much. And in terms of, they have their own obligations to meet tides and trucking and all that sort of thing. So we're already bearing the brunt of that. So for us, it would be a serious negative impact on us. And, you know, my great-grandfather sold that portion of the port to the port, that little area there that's next to us in 1946. And so, you know, that's something that our family would be impacted, but also the community as a whole would probably be impacted, and probably really, really not be a positive thing for the town in general, and also the county. I think the county uses that beach and that area, and would probably like to stay the same as it is now.
Well, I think we tried to highlight in the statement that the beach is important. And we recognize that, so I think that's all three of us, we're all like, you know, no one's going to jeopardize a warm water beach like that. So
and the idea is that you can't separate the marina section from the upland, and it all has to be sold as one parcel then? Is that not the case? It could all be sold as one unit then?
Mm-mm.
We don't know that. That's what I...
No, it can be. It can be parceled.
It can be.
Yeah. Right.
So
yeah. We've actually.
The proposal would be to sell the whole entire 40-acre upland and all the marina and everything.
You know, if I could just try to clarify very briefly, I think the intent and the precise timing of this, I think, remains to be seen, whether it's going to occur in the fourth quarter or in the first quarter of 2017, is that that staff will have an opportunity to focus on Quilcene, to kind of look at the long-term options and to provide to the commission a set of actionable alternatives with the advantages and disadvantages of each kind of laid bare, and the financial implications identified as well for open public discussion and consideration. So I would say that we're just not there yet, but there a range of options will be presented, and I'm confident that not everyone is going to be enthusiastic about some of the options that are presented.
Right.
But just because it's identified as an option doesn't mean that any decisions have been taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's way, as far as the Quilcene rumors go, I mean, just like Eric said, I mean, the car is like miles ahead of the horse on this. Boundary line adjustments, you know, whether the marina, there's all kinds of different combinations that we can do down there. So I think kind of some of the statements that were made were you know, way, way, way out of context for us to even comment on, because there's important.
Just
briefly.
One in perspective, when Sam talked about dredging, we have a dredging problem here. But fortunately, we have a Coast Guard cutter that has to get out of there too. So when dredging comes up, we partner with the Coast Guard, and the dredging problem is solved because they need the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Quilcene doesn't have a Coast Guard cutter, so it's it's a different, we're sawing off on a different kind of maintenance thing.
Right.
But a piece to keep in mind for the commissioners is that quill basin is huge for tribal fisheries. Mm-hmm. And if you're not talking to the tribes, you ought to be. Because that's where a lot of guys launch their boats for hook canal. There's nothing else available unless you buy moorage in Pleasant Harbor. So just, you know, put that in the back of your mind that the tribes, not everybody, and I'm sure they may want to outdo each other, or they may be upset that you're helping somebody else, but you ought to start this dialogue with the tribes that just says, hey, this is what we're thinking of doing, and this might affect your fishermen. And if you talk to the fishermen as they come through, they'll get word to their tribal councils as well. So it's just a resource, just like city councils, just like county commissioners, that you might have access to. And what the intergovernmental agency I've worked with found out is tribes can do heavy lifting that no one else can do. They really can bring money to the table that no one else can get because the feds provide them money to do things. So it's a resource available to you, and these guys know that the tribe guys show up regularly. So
this fall they've been down there.
Yeah, yeah. So just a thought, some thoughts on quill to support quills.
And how will you involve the community for this comment the next year? How do we get involved? I think if you went down there now and had a meeting down there now, you might have a different response than,
yeah,
than you did a month or two ago.
Again, I think that's part of what we need to assess is the best way to garner kind of community input on the alternatives in a way that helps inform the commission's decision making. You know, one other point I would make with respect to allegations of secret meetings or decisions already having been made. All of the port's business in affairs of this nature is conducted in public. Mm-hmm. So even if, and I emphasize, underline, highlight, if the commission were to take a decision in the future to sell a portion or all of the quill seam facility, that would occur in public. And then thereafter, there would be statutorily an obligation to hold a public hearing and to vote to surplus that property. So we're a long way away from any such decision being made.
Go ahead.
One thing I might add is that a lot of people said that people then at Quilstein don't really believe it that much because it doesn't really pertain to them. But if you want to be assured of knowing what's going to be on our agenda for the upcoming meeting so you don't miss out, for example, you can sign up on the port's website to receive notices. And prior to each meeting, the agenda will come out. And it'll tell you exactly what's going to be talked about in that public meeting so that you'll know then that, oh, they're going to be talking to Port Townsend about stuff that doesn't interest me, I won't show up. But when the one that comes up that regards quill seam does come up, you'll know. Yeah, and there will be no reason for you to miss, like, the newspaper or something like that.
And so at this point, there's no proposal on the table from Coast for purchasing it. There's no proposal that's been drawn. None of this has been, it's just been all brainstorming up until this point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And anything that, if it actually does get more structured, you're going to see it come up in workshops like this. And, I mean, the whole reason we hold a workshop like this is so that we can have a pretty open dialogue with the public.
And this is the best place for
it. Really is. I mean, like, unfortunately, it's fine, but unfortunately, okay, so there's a big crowd that's going to show up for the business meeting. We can take their comments, and they can make their comments, and we'll hear them again, when we review the record. But it's not like we can have a give and take with them. Like, you wouldn't find us in a business meeting having a discussion like this about it. And so, yeah, I mean, as you talk to your people down there, too, I mean, when we come up to this with workshops, that's when we should have a proud of.
Yeah, and again, I would second Commissioner Tucker's suggestion that you or anybody else sign up on our webpage, and then you get email alerts of when things are posted on the webpage. And do they get the agendas emailed out to them as well? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're alerted to it being on the website.
Yeah, exactly. So you get the link, so you know, you know, you'll get an email right in your inbox that says here's the coming, so you'll see all of those. As well as we've taken to heart, we did the noticing for our meeting in kind of our normal fashion, and I think should we have future, and I'm sure we will have future meetings in quilting, we'll make sure that we get things up on the bulletin boards and some of those fashion that people that are used to looking there.
Yeah, we did miss that. We learned that lesson.
Yes, exactly.
Got that one cold.
Yeah.
It seemed a little sneaky, like when he had this meeting and no one's there, and it that put in a whole other twist on, it's not just the practical side of like, okay, well, we're going to lose access or we're going to lose this mm-hmm. at court, but it was like, well, like the commission's trying to go behind our back. They scheduled this meeting and no one was there. They made all these decisions. Now they want to sell. It's already a done deal. There's nothing that the public can do. And so it really put a serious cloud over anything that would pertain to that sale.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to commandeer the meeting.
No, that's fine. And honestly, I would be, I understand the point that you're trying to make. And it's unfortunate that somebody in the community took it upon themselves to frame it in that light, because even to say that there's nobody there is completely inaccurate.
Right.
I think we had like 15 people there, and so that's not nothing for grill scene.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's recorded. We have meeting minutes. You know, the discussion that we had was in a workshop like this, where we are incapable of making any decisions.
Right.
And so there's a real spin that was put on it that I would offer to you perhaps to take with a grain of salt.
Right.
Tom, do you have a comment?
I mean, another comment also that if you want to get data out, you have to work at it. You can't put things on passive things like your website or the newspaper, because just not that many people see it.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't actively searching the newspaper looking for meeting notices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bulletin boards, the internet list that we have sending information out to people is a much better way to do it.
Great.
Although I think now that you have the community's attention, there's probably going to be more promoters out there that will pass out the word.
Absolutely, and it's like, okay, well, you know, we've gotten people's attention, and all joking aside, that's a good thing for people to pay attention and be engaged and go, these are really difficult discussions that we need to have, and so let's have them.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing down in Quilson, is that you wouldn't talk to anyone that's just like, oh, it's the best place in the world, and you talk to any people around the county, and it's the same thing, and they... If you took a vote today, they'd say, well, leave it just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the commerce, we still have access to it, and I think that would be the general consensus. And so it'd be interesting to go to some of the future meetings and see what the response is from the community and
mm-hmm.
see how this moves forward.
Yep. Right.
Anybody else? Anything else to talk about?
That's it. Short workshop today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For me being at 3:30 today. Okay, well, I'll adjourn the meeting.
All right.
We'll be back at 5:30.
Great.